It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Rachel, and we're all looking forward to Level 2.
Yes.
Though, you know, I guess the warning you've got to say, we love the freedom, but with freedom comes responsibility, and I've just been watching, you know, things that have been happening most recently in Korea and Germany. You know, these were the two poster children of how to contain the virus, and they did incredibly well. When they got to their equivalent of level two, they had a spike up in the number of cases. And in South Korea, it was focused on a particular bar. And in those sort of environments, of course, this thing, you know, we've seen how the clusters have worked. You know, 90, 100 people, I think, in the Mount Albert Marist Girls College cluster. So, look, it's great news, but we kind of need to keep our guard up, and we need to think about physical distancing, proper hygiene practices, and not to go wild. And the going wild part is what worries me most of all. You know, you see, you know, fairly stereotypical behaviour in bars, and people aren't looking at physical distancing, quite the opposite. Yeah, look, great to celebrate that progress, but this is not the time to say, hey, it's all over, we're back to normal now. The virus is still out there, and it can still affect people. And God knows we don't want to end up where the United States has ended up, you know, 80,000 dead, over a quarter of a million people affected, and people protesting for the right to be infected.
It is surreal times, very surreal times. This does sort of mark a step in the right direction, though, of course. But we have seen a little bit of confusion, perhaps, or criticism of the fact that we can see bars reopening, of course, with changes in the way they'll be operating under level two. But there has been some pushback about the sort of limited number of people you could have at weddings or at funerals or tangi, for example. What are your thoughts on that, Phil, that particular thing of people sort of feeling a bit pissed off maybe that they can go to the cinema but they can't necessarily go to their grandmother's funeral or something?
Yeah, it's really tough, that one, because you don't get a second chance at a funeral. And if it's a close family member or a close friend, the social norm is that you're there. You're there to farewell the person that you were close to, and not being able to be there is particularly tough. Look, I think we all understand why the restriction is there. It's a limit of 10 at the moment. I think within a fortnight they're going to consider whether that might be increased to 100. That was one of the original guidelines for level two. There's never the ability to be totally consistent on these things. If you're in a cinema, how different, and you're sitting, you know, with a metre separation, how different is that from being at a funeral? So that one's still fairly tough, and you know, I know they're putting it in place for the best of reasons, and you know, I think by and large they've got it right, but they're not always going to get it 100% right. And I think, you know, you probably could have done a funeral with closer ruling on separation of people, and you know, I thought maybe a little bit more thinking could have gone into that one.
We've also seen a little bit of criticism around how the government has perhaps not included enough Māori consultation from the start, because we're seeing this one-size-fits-all approach not necessarily being particularly culturally sensitive, perhaps. For example, even if we're thinking of funerals, a tangi is very different to a funeral in a Pākehā context. Do you think that we should have seen more engagement with Māori cultural practice through this COVID period, Mayor?
Yeah, there are obvious differences between a tangi and a normal style funeral, in the sense that a tangi goes on for days. People are in the marae, they're around the coffin is open, etc. And that is important, but you know, regardless of the cultural differences, the health impacts are probably still pretty much the same. Now, I don't know what degree of consultation might have taken place there, but where I would give a big call out is I was just looking the other day at Pacifica casualty figures in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, like Auckland, is a big Pacifica community, and the Pacifica infection and fatality rates were 7 times higher than the rest of the population. Here in Auckland and in New Zealand, Maori and Pacifica infection rates and fatality rates have been much lower than the wider population, and a lot of that's had to do with a focus on mobile clinics, going out, interacting in a culturally appropriate way with Maori and Pacifica people. So I'd give them high praise on that front. And on the funeral front, you know, I just think, I'm not the expert on it. I don't know precisely what they did. But it is such an important occasion, actually, regardless of culture, it's an important occasion. And maybe there could have been more flexibility within, you know, physical distancing rules. Would have just, that's my instinct on it.
Can we talk a little bit about council facilities and what might be changing or staying the same under level two? Of course, we've seen that playgrounds and gyms are going to be open, for example. What's this going to mean for our libraries, our art galleries, things like that, Phil?
Still working through that. The libraries, certainly there'll be some opening up as early as next Monday, and others may take a little longer. I mean, there are considerations in regard to libraries, like, you know, 20% of our staff there have got underlying health conditions or over 70, and they are at risk. So we've got to look at whether we can properly staff the facilities that we're opening up. Clearly, there will have to be the same sort of physical distancing there. It may be a staggered start. We're still working through those details. Actually, the facility that's most directly affected is going to be public transport, and that's the one that mm-hmm. worries me, because the you know, the meter or distance or 2 meters distance there means that we've halved the capacity of our buses and our trains. Mm-hmm. So that means that while we go back to the normal schedule, that we'll only be able to take half the people that we normally can, and maybe that won't be a problem, because maybe people will be a little bit reluctant initially to go back to public transport in that close proximity. We're all so used to social distancing that it's kind of become the new norm, and we still need to practice that. But I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about the impact on, you know, obviously the revenue impact on Auckland Transport is going to be huge. And at council itself, we're going to start with 30% of people coming back to work. Others still working at home. We'll lift that over a fortnight to 50%. Probably do the same here in my office. It's a big mm-hmm. office, so plenty of space there. But we'll err on the side of caution. And I hope that, you know, part of the new norm might be actually more people working at least part of the time out of home. Now, I think we all go a bit stir-crazy if we're at home all the time. But that's not to say that people haven't learnt that actually for maybe a day or 2 days a week they could quite comfortably and productively work out of home, and that would take a bit of pressure off peak hour traffic and carbon emissions, etc. So I would hope the council and a range of other organisations, where it's feasible, that they will give consideration mm-hmm. to continued working from home. Now, you know, people would probably welcome that a day or 2 days a week, 5 days a week. They're less welcoming of it. They're keen mm-hmm. to get back to social interaction.
I do just want to touch base on the emergency budget from the council, because there's been indications that there's going to be more public consultation around this, Phil. What's that going to look like, and how can the public be involved in this?
It's going to look pretty tough, actually. In common with other organisations, we've had a severe reduction in revenue. And in our case, for the next financial year, that means a reduction of literally hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, that has an impact in two ways on us. One, our borrowing and our credit rating depends on our debt-to-revenue ratio, and we're in serious danger of exceeding our debt-to-revenue ratio threshold unless we cut back on capital works. Now, we may have to do that, but we want to the extent possible, to keep on with those capital works programs, both because they provide infrastructure that, you know, is long overdue in Auckland. So we actually need the infrastructure, the transport, the environmental, the housing infrastructure that is being put in place, but also because we want to the extent possible, help with the recovery. We want to keep people employed. So if, you know, keeping those capital works programs going to the extent we can is quite important to us. The second thing is that, like everybody else, we've got to balance our budget. In fact, it's a Local Government Act requirement. And our budget's going to be seriously unbalanced because revenue's gone down severely, which means that we've also got to cut expenditure. Now, that's going to have an impact on our services. That's going to have an impact on our staff levels. Almost everything that we do. So we've got to balance those things with keeping the key council services going, because the city depends on it, you know, whether it's everything from road maintenance to waste collections to water care and all of the other things. And secondly, we want to make sure that we can alleviate the impact of rates on people who are severely affected. Now, we're not all in that category. Many of us have continued working, and we're no worse off than before.
Certainly a lot of people are affected,
Yeah. So I think the emphasis will be on targeted support where we can defer and postpone rates, but we will go out to consultation on our rate increase. Now, that consultation will be focused on 2.5% to 3.5%. Some people say, why not zero? Well, because we're already $400 million down the tube with revenue, which will have dramatic impacts on the services we can provide. If we go to zero, we'll be down another $60 million, and we'll be hundreds of millions down in what we can afford to invest in infrastructure. So, and we don't want that to happen.
So in terms of people's involvement, though, because I know there is going to be public consultation, what's that going to look like? Are people going to be able to submit to some sort of form? What's going on there?
Yeah, by the end of the month, we'll have a consultation document and supporting information going out, and we'll have consultation probably between the end of May and the 19th of June. We'll hear the feedback from the consultation, we'll get local board input, and then our budget will be a bit late this year because of the, you know, this is an emergency budget. We've already done one round of consultation, but everything's changed. So we should have the final budget out by the 30th of July. Just to go back to the rate increase, a 2.5% rate increase for the average ratepayer means $1.35 a week. So this is not stuff that's going to break the bank, but we are also conscious that there are some people that won't be able to meet their rates at all. So let's direct the help that we need to give, because we're not in the business of throwing people out of their homes to collect the money they owe us. Let's focus the help on those who most badly need it, and let's try to keep all of the services and the investment in the city going to the extent that we can. But will it have a dramatic impact on our staffing and on our services? Undoubtedly.
Well, just before we let you go, quick PSA, when do water restrictions come in place for the drought, Matt?
Saturday the 16th of May, and probably won't make much of an impact on the residential properties at the moment. It means you can't use your water hose or your water blaster, you can't clean your car, your house, you can't water the garden or the lawns. For industry, there are restrictions on commercial car washes unless it's recycled water. On sports fields, we won't be watering sports fields, and there'll be some restrictions on irrigation. Hey, the real problem we've got is, I mean, it was a great weekend last weekend, wasn't it? It didn't feel
like we were at the end
of autumn. Beautiful, sat out in the sun for a while and thought, this is great, but gee, I wish it was raining.
Yeah.
We had the driest first four months of this year in the history of our city. We're 45% lake full. Normally we'd be 75%.
Yeah.
So the messages that we've been pushing now for months and months, please go easy on the showers, fill the dishwasher and the washing machine before you use them, don't run the tap while you're cleaning your teeth, be water wise. If we conserve each conserve a little now, we can save millions of litres of water and stop more dramatic and drastic need for restrictions later on if we don't have enough rain over the winter.
Well, fingers crossed we do get some rain. And thank you very much for your time this morning, Phil. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday when we will be in Level 2.
Thanks, Rachel. Always a pleasure.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. It's